Bye to him. I'm going to tell you a merdeka mice I had last night, and the mamish ties into where we're holding now in the Novi. I had a merdeka mice last night where an old Talmud of mine was living in Eretz Yisrael, married, family, and he had a very bad year, very difficult year. He lost his parnasa. And then the two of his kids are having trouble in their yeshivas. And then some shalom bayis problems, a bunch of things, a bunch of peklach together. Anyway, so his parents recommended that he should come back to America. We'll have parnasa, his kids will be able to go to school, could work on his shalom bayis. His wife begged him to come on back. They tried kol minei dvorim. So they asked me if I can talk to him. I said, sounds very obvious that he should come back. It's not a question. I said, I'll try. So I, the boy, I don't, he's been here for high school many, many years ago. Not really in touch with him. Sometimes I have talmidim that stay in touch. Some, glad that I'm not in touch with him. I love him very much. Every time that I love very much, but Epis Rosh Hashanah, he calls me before Rosh Hashanah. Hagud Yor, Habroche. So I told the parents, this, I'm in the car. Mom is going to Brooklyn to Chasana. I told the parents, okay, I'll call him. Anyway, they got very excited. They send me a text in the car that he's still up, even though it's the middle of the night over there. I could please call him. Okay. So when I got to the chasana, I waited, I had some people in the car. It was a private type of conversation. I called the Talmud up. Shalom Aleichem. He in the hell. How are you? And I didn't tell him I knew all the pratim, because the parents already told me all the pratim. He starts telling me what's going on. I said, listen, it sounds like you should come back. He said, okay. Koltov. That was the end of the conversation. I get a text from the parents 20 minutes later. He's coming back. I didn't beg him. I didn't convince him. I didn't come up with some kind of brainstorm. That's some genius idea. I said, it sounds like you should come back. That was the whole thing. One sentence. Sounds like you should come back. His father is on the phone with me, drilling me. What did you tell him about Brzezinski? What you told him, that can't be. Did you curse him? If he doesn't come back, did you tell him? No. But I told him, that sounds like you should come back. He said, can't be. It can't be. That was the whole conversation. That was the beginning and the end. I said, he told me what's going on. And I told him, it sounds like you should come back. I said, okay. Anyway, I found out today they already bought tickets. They sublet the apartment. They had a lease on the apartment. They're coming back. This week, they're coming back to America. The parents, they can't believe it. They can't believe it. It's not shaykh. So I'm going to tell you now what the answer is. Now, I didn't come up. I would love to take the credit. Say I had some kind of brilliant thing I told this guy to make him go. Garnished. But it's Ligdo in the Novi that we're about to learn. We start the next parak. Yoyesh becomes a melech. And Klal Yisrael, first state in Pasuk, Yoyish becomes the king, and the Pasuk says, the Novi says, he was 7 years old when he became king. Okay? He was 7 years old when he became Melech. Ben Sheva Shonim Yoyish B'moch. Now we spent a lot of time discussing how Yoyish got saved, and it was Mida Keneged Mida, if you remember. The reason why David's children died was because Noivir HaKohanim died, and David saved one of the Kohanim, that's why one of the Kohanim saved his grandson. Yoyada HaKohen was the one who took care of Yoyish. Yoyada HaKohen God. So the Pasuk says as follows. Bishna Sheva Morach Yoyosh. Va'aboyim Shonim Malach HaYushalayim. 40 years he was a king in Yerushalayim. Vayas Yehoyosh Hayosho Beine Hashem Kol Yomov. Yoyosh did everything that was right. Kol Yomov. Asher Hoyro Yoyod HaKohen Agadol. Okay. Comes Chazal, and Chazal say, that was only while Yehoyada HaKohen was alive. But once Yehoyada HaKohen died, everything was over. He went off to Derech. He did Averis. We spoke about this last week. He killed Zechariah Kohen Gadol. He killed Zechariah Kohen Gadol. He killed the son of Yehoyada HaKohen. After Yehoyada HaKohen died, Zechariah Kohen Gadol became the Kohen after him. And he killed Zechariah. So Rashi says as follows. Abu Mishemes Yehoyada, once Yehoyada died, he became an Avodah Zarah. And Rashi says what happened? He was for 7 years in the Kodesh Kedosh. He was they hid him over there, right? He was hiding. So the generals of Yehuda came to bow down to him, like he's a god. Omuloi, they told him, if somebody goes to the Kodesh Kedoshim for 1 minute, when he doesn't belong there, he dies. Right? You know that. Right? If a person goes to the Kodesh Kedoshim for 1 minute, he doesn't belong there, he dies. If a Kohen Gadol had Avera, they used to tie the string to him. You remember that from human? He would go in, and if he did a chet, he would die. They had to schlep him out. They told him, you survived in the Kodesh Kedoshim 7 years. You're a god. Omulai, they told him, nobody lives in Kodesh because the Atonich Beisa Sheisham, you were there over 6 years. Now you're 7 years old. Kidai Ato Liyo Yisaloiha. You're a godly person. Zokt Rashi, he was Makabal. He was Makabal what they told him. Mamisha Pella. Pella, he goes all the way down the drain. But so long Yehoyada Kohen Gadol was alive, even though he had the same taina, he lived in the Kodesh Kedoshim for 7 years, over 6 years, he didn't become a... All of a sudden Yehoyada Kohen dies, he goes off the deep end. Why? We have the same Gemara in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, Vayishaten Shloimoy is Bas Paroi. Says the Gemara in Brachos Daf Ches. Vayikach is Bas Paroi. Shloimo HaMelech married the daughter of Paroi. You know, that was a terrible thing. After he married the daughter of Paroi, everything went downhill. Everything went downhill after he married the daughter of Paroi. So Shloimo HaMelech marries Bas Paroi. What made him marry Bas Paroi? Listen to Gemara. Says the Gemara in Brachos. Lo oilom al yoder adam ela bimkoim rabbi. A person should always live in the city of his Rebbe. If he can. If a person can, he should live in the city of his Rebbe. Why? Zon Chazal, shekol zman sheshimi ben geiro kayim, as long as Shimi, who was the Rebbe of Shloimo HaMelech, was alive, Loi Nosa Bas Paroi. You hear this? Shloimo HaMelech, as long as his Rebbe was alive, he didn't marry Paroi's daughter. Shehoyo Yorei Mimenu. Voyo Mechichoi. He was afraid of him. He was afraid his Rebbe is going to give him Musa. After he died, then all of a sudden he married Bas Paroi. The whole thing is a pillar. Shloimo HaMelech. Shloimo was the smartest man of all men. Chochom mikol adam hashal pnei adam. He knew everything. Shloimo HaMelech knew everything. The smartest of all men. He was smarter than Shimi ben Gera. He was smarter than his Rebbe. The Rebbe who taught him Torah originally. He knew Sichas Chai Soifetz V'dogam. He knew animal language. He was able to listen to the animals talk. So Shimi ben Gera, chochom mikol adam. So, as far as wisdom, It's not like, oh, my Rebbe's going to chop me on a siman in Shulchan Aruch. No. He was smarter than his Rebbe. Right? Powerful. Shlomo HaMelech was a global king. You know what that means? He ruled over Kemat the entire world. He didn't have to be afraid of anybody. He's afraid of Shimi Ben Gera. He was able to kill Shimi Ben Gera. Shtaka did at the end. He was able to kill Shimi Ben Gera. So, what's a pshat? Kol's man that Shimi Ben Gera was alive. Shlomo HaMelech didn't do the Aveira because he was afraid of him. What's he afraid of? What's he afraid of? It's a Pella. It's Mamre Mohafiz. Very similar to what we see here with Yoyada. As long as Yoyada was alive, Yoyash didn't do any Averis. His Rebbe was alive. Once his Rebbe died, it's a different feeling. It's a pshat. So I'll tell you like this. I was giving a shiur recently in the shul on the topic of taking bribes. A dayan is not allowed to take a bribe. Obviously, this week's parasha, we talk about it by riches. Shoichad loisikach. You're not allowed to take shoichad. So we know what a bribe is. A regular bribe in the American, when we talk in American law, what does a bribe mean? It means somebody goes to a judge or to a congressman or to a senator or to a secretary of state, by Maven Yovin, and they give them a bribe. They give them money or their husband's foundation money, and then they get them to do something for them, right? That's a bribe. Here, you're judging me now? Here's $10,000, here's $1 million, here's $2 million, and I want you to do what I want. That's a bribe. But I'll tell you a tremendous chiddush. The Gemara says in Ksumis that if two people pay a judge, not one person, two, that means a judge has two people come to him. They both give him a bribe. So it's not like I got more money from him than from him. I got the same money. My two people here that are coming for judgment, they each gave me $100,000 each. And they both told me, please do a true judgment. Here's $100,000, we want you to do a true judgment. Not do like us. Yeah? You didn't know you gave me 100 grand. Right? They both gave me $100,000. Please give me a good judgment. Zok the Gemara, if that's Peter Sheikhad, that's Sheikhad. That's called bribing. What do you mean? I'm getting the same amount from both parties. If I'm getting $100,000 from two people, why am I leaning more towards him than towards him? I'm getting the same amount of money. What's the problem? Ma baya. Why would I be swayed more? The Torah says, I won't be swayed more to you than to you. You both gave me the same money. Still, the Gemara says, if you give schar b'teila, that's something else. You could go over to the judge and tell him, listen, I'm asking you to give me a day, right? Two people, Reuven and Shimon come. They say, listen, Rabbi Yankel, we're asking you to give us your day today. The guy says, listen, you want me to take a day off for you? You have to give me $100, $200, five, whatever my daily fee is that I would normally be out there working. That isn't a lot to take. But if you pay the judge to adjudicate the case, it's a bribe. Even if he's paid by both sides. My question is, why is it called a bribe? If you're being paid by both sides, why is he going to be swayed in the wrong direction? Rabbi Isai, the teretz is poshut. Poshut betachlus hapashtus. You all learned Meseches Makis. There's aloch in Meseches Makis. Kasher zomam v'loy kasher os. The Noyim remembers that, right? What's the main discussion? Zomam v'loy kasher os. Planet. But once Bezdin did it already, you don't get punished. That means two Adim said false testimony, and Bezdin actually killed a guy. It's kasher zomam v'loy kasher os. Frek the Ramban. Why? Why is that? I mean, the Gemara already, Marcus talks about lav kal v'chomeru. Tona Berivi. I'm sure you guys remember that Gemara in Hamad Beis. Tona Berivi. You remember? What? Yeah? Hogu ein erogim. Loi hogu erogim. Hogu ein erogim. Zok the Ramban. Elohim nitzav badaskel. The Shechina is on every Bezdin. When a Bezdin judges, Hashem is helping the judges to adjudicate. And if the judges kill the guy, it must mean he was really chayimis. Health. If Hashem let the judges kill a guy, it means he was really chayim. That's why the Edom don't get punished. Unbelievable Ramban. And I brought down that we find an halacha like that. If you have a stira between what somebody wrote in the psokim to what somebody wrote in the tshuvas, what would be if I would put out a sefer, any rav, put out a sefer on something that they learned, that they wrote while they were learning it. So ksubis, right? Let's say I'm learning ksubis now, and I put out a sefer on Maseches Ksubis. And in the sefer, I write down psokim. What would be the halacha? What should be the halacha? Then, I put out a sefer called Shilas Tshuvas. In that sefer, I write answers to questions that people ask me. What happens if we have a contradiction from what I wrote in my tshuvas to what I wrote in my chedushim? Which one do we go by? In Svora, you should go by what I wrote in my psokim. You know why? Because that's what I was learning. I wrote that while I was learning ksubis. I was learning schwitzing the whole day in ksubis. So now it makes sense. You should go by that. What's the halacha? Says the Meshiv Dovo, you go by what he wrote in his tshuvas. You know why? Because when somebody asks you a shaila, you have siyata d'shmai. Hashem helps you. Somebody asks you a shaila halacha l'maisa, you have siyata d'shmai. That the psak is going to be correct. So if there's a contradiction, what somebody wrote when it wasn't l'maisa, we go by what was l'maisa. And I told you guys many times, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zechet Tzadik Levrocha, the Mir Rosh Hashivin, used to send shilas to Diane Fisher. I knew Diane Fisher personally. And Diane Fisher was a big Talmud Chacham. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz didn't have to send shilas to Diane Fisher. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was a Gon HaGoyim. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, when he was in Shanghai, and they were missing a Blat Gemara, and that was without, he wasn't the Shui, he was, didn't learn the Kerem Yeshua's Chazara program. And they used to ask him, they were missing a blot. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz took out his pen and he wrote over the blot. Because they only had one Shas. So it was missing a page, it was stuck. He took out a pen, he wrote out the Gemara. And then he wrote the Rashi. And then the Tosfos. And then also, I heard from Rabbi Yankev, also the Hagoyis Hagro, with the Gilyan Hashas from Rabbi Kiveg. So he didn't have to send Shilas to Adayin in Yerushalayim. He was able to pass in Shilas on his own. So they asked him, Rebbe, why are you sending Shilas to him? He said, because all he does all day is pass in Shilas. He has a Siyata Dishmaya. And one of the Talmidim of the Trumas Hadeshin wrote that the Chachamim didn't rely on the tshuvas of the Trumas Hadeshin as much as they would have, because a lot of the tshuvas in the Trumas Hadeshin weren't real shailas. Wasn't real questions that came to him. It was just, what would be? So if somebody comes over to you and say, what would be? That's not a shaila l'maisa. Somebody comes to you and asks you l'maisa, that's l'maisa. It's a separate siyata d'shmaya. So I want to tell you like this. The Torah HaKadosh says that a person is supposed to have a Rebbe, and the Rebbe has a chiyuv to be mashpi on the Talmud. So what happens is, the Rebbe has a special siyata d'shmaya to be mashpi on the Talmud. It's not logical, it's beyond logic. It's beyond logic. That's what the Gemara is saying in Brachas. You know why? Because your Rebbe can have more influence on you, not because he has a koyach, because the Eibishter that gives a siyata d'shmaya for a Rebbe to be mashpi on a Talmud. The Eibishter that gives that. That's a special siyata d'shmaya. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, with all his wisdom, with all his power, as long as Shimi ben Gera was alive, Shimi ben Gera had control. That was a siyata d'shmaya. It's not the laws of logic. Logically, we can't explain it. It wasn't because Shimi ben Gera had a better pshat than the Rashba than Shlomo HaMelech. The Eibishter gave siyata d'shmaya to Shimi ben Gera to be mashpi on Shlomo HaMelech. Same thing, Yoyada HaKoyen. As long as Yoyada HaKoyen was alive, Yoyosh didn't do the Averis. Because his Rebbe had a siyata d'shmaya to influence him. So even though Yoyosh had a lot of issues, but the Rebbe had control. Once Yoyada HaKoyen died, then the issues came up. That's the pshat. I told his parents that's the pshat. I said, I didn't say anything brilliant to your son. I would love to tell you. I had some chap. I manipulated him. Davish gave siyata d'shmaya. Our Rebbe mit Talmud. I think you should come back. Okay. Came back. Wasn't I had no koyach on it. So siyata d'shmaya. Davish gives a siyata d'shmaya. And that's why it's so important for somebody to have a Rebbe. It's beyond the level of comprehension. Doesn't mean just comprehension. I always felt good. Well, that's the reason why we've been saying Tehillim this morning, and again now I told him to say Tehillim, it's because one of my Rabbeim, if Shmuel Avigdor Feivelson, had a heart attack recently, although he's been sick for many years, and he hasn't been able to speak for many years. I haven't spoken to him in many years because he's been sick. I used to see him all the time. We learned together, very close shaykhis. But Lamaisi, he lives in Muncie. So even though he's not able to speak, he's here. When I heard he got sicker, so chapta shrek. Because that's the Gemara. So that's the importance. Everybody has to know that's the importance of having a Rebbe. It's important for a Rebbe to have a Talmud. And for that, there's an extra siyata d'shmaya. And that's what we see from this Navi. That there was siyata d'shmaya l'mal. Even though Zechariah took over his father's position. But since Zechariah wasn't the Rebbe of Yoyosh, he didn't have that koyach anymore. Okay.